Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think if you look around the church world today, I think that you can see that one of the biggest problems that we have that goes on in the church is what's called psychobabble. It's men trying to add something to the gospel. It's trying to be therapeutic. It's trying to be moralistic. It's bringing moralism and adding something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's simply a lack of confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a lack of confidence in the teaching of God's word. That's why you find so often all the programs and things that are added to the church, as if the gospel, the preaching, and the sacraments are not enough for the church of Jesus Christ. We act so often like we need more, that the gospel, as the Apostle Paul says, is not the power of God unto salvation. He says it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the therapeutic things. It's not the psychobabble. It's not the moralism that goes on so often in the churches. It's not be good and God will like you. The gospel is Jesus Christ. It's His person and it's His work. And the power of God is worked in and through the gospel, through the preaching. That's why we ought to demand the preaching of the gospel in the church. We need to continually, as the people of God, hear the wisdom of God and not the foolishness of men. Men who are blinded with sin think they are so wise in dealing with the soul. Now notice, psychology today, modern psychology, they deny that man even has a soul. And yet the Greek term for psychology comes from the Greek word psyche, which regards the soul. It's soul issues is what it is. It's a teaching about the soul, which the humanistic psychobabble psychology of the day denies. And yet we want to bring it into the church and think that that can heal the problems that go on with people. Beloved, the natural things of man cannot deal with the soul. God alone is the physician of the soul. He is alone dealing with the soul, and He does so through the Word. We need to get that rooted down into our souls as the people of God. That it so is rooted into us that our go-to is the Word. What do you do when you're downcast? Well, I run to the Christian counselor of the day. Do you find that in Scripture? Let me give you one place. As David asked this question, and he's speaking to himself, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" He's engaging, he's dialoguing with his own soul. And he asked that question, "Why are you downcast?" Speaking to himself. What's wrong with you? Why are you down? Put your hope in God. Trust in Him. He is the help of my countenance. He is the lifter of my head. It's the Lord who does that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Paul and Silas are in the inner prison, and they are in stocks being stretched, and they are singing psalms and hymns to God. And the other prisoners are listening. It's therapeutic to sing the psalms and hymns to God. It's therapeutic to the soul to go to the Word and understand what the Word speaks to us as we speak to the Lord in prayer. Paul is dealing with the Corinthians with regards to this matter. This matter of thinking that the gospel is not enough. That we got to have more. But you got to have the programs. You got to add to it. You got to have something else. Even as the Galatians, the heresy that went on there. Oh yeah, you have to believe in Jesus, but you also have to keep the law to be saved. It's a denial of the gospel. It's Christ who keeps the law. And when you have Him, you have all that's necessary unto salvation. So Paul is dealing with so many difficulties that were going on in the church of Corinth. And beloved, he's dealing with us too this morning. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, is dealing with us this morning, right here, right now, with regards to these practical issues, with regards to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has already dealt with them and the sectarianism that was going on. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. These divisions that were going on in the church. And he says, you know what, I thank God that I only baptized a few of you. Lest you guys should have the cult of Paul. God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach. He's not saying that baptism is unimportant. He is saying that the most important thing in his calling is to preach the gospel. Because baptism has no meaning apart from the Word of God. Even as the Lord's Supper has no meaning apart from the Word of God. It's the Word of God that defines these particular sacraments. So, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at our text this morning. First thing that you see is the faithful preaching in verse 17. Notice in verse 18 that this cross distinguishes between people. And then from verses 19 and 20, you have that the cross of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, destroys the worldly wise. The wisdom of this world is destroyed by the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul begins in verse 17. And he says this, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. Now, many today think that the preaching is something that inhibits or it gets in the way of the worship. That has not been the view of the Reformed Church since its inception. The view of the Reformed Church has always been that the highest form of worship is the preaching of God's Word. And yet, when we get influenced by the psychology and the psychobabble of the day, the moralism of the day, we want to eclipse the gospel and we want to bring these other therapeutic things, thinking that we can heal the souls of men. Beloved, it's the Word of God that God has given to us for the healing of the soul. It's the Word of God that builds us up unto salvation. It's the Word and only a Word. That's why Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. Not your opinions, not the reviews of men, not the psychology of the day. You preach the Word and only the Word. And to be faithful at it and let no one despise you in this. He told Titus in this way, let no one disregard you with regards to preaching the Word. What he means by that is, do not let anybody think themselves around the gospel. Thinking around the Word. Do not let men think themselves around the Word. As if you can get around the Word. You confront them with the Word. And be ready in season and out of season. To rebuke, to reprove, to encourage, to exhort, to admonish. With all long suffering and patience. Because the time comes when men don't want to put up with sound doctrine. As I said in the Sunday school hour. That happened in Timothy's day, and I think it continues to our day. People don't like to hear the truth. We don't like when it's strong preaching. And we have all kinds of things to say about strong preaching. You know, soft preaching makes hard hearts. It's the strong preaching that softens the heart. That's what the Lord uses. And if we are constantly being subjected to the soft things of the day, then we don't want to put up with the hard words of Christ. But there are hard words, aren't there? And you have to deal with them. Even as the disciples had to deal with them. You remember in John 6, when the disciples went away from the Lord. Well, it was asked this question. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? Well, only those who are illumined by the Spirit of God. And many turned and walked with him no more because of this hard saying. As Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. He's not talking about cannibalism. We eat and drink Christ by faith, laying hold of Him. And He is in us and we are in Him. And He turned to His disciples and asked this question. Do you also want to go away? They heard a hard saying and didn't understand it. And many departed and walked with Him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, how about you? You want to go away? Let me ask you, beloved. You want to go away when you don't understand something in Scripture? When you don't understand that God foreordained the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet He holds men accountable for their action of putting them on the cross. Peter said, God foreordained the death of Christ, but you, by sinful, guilty hands, put Him to the cross. And God holds you accountable. Do you want to walk away because you don't understand? How can that be so? Do you want to walk away when it says that God upholds all things in heaven and earth by the word of His power, and yet things don't happen the way that you want? Do you want to walk away? Do you want to walk away when sickness comes upon you? You don't understand it. Do you want to be like Asaph? And do you want to almost stumble because you see the prosperity of the wicked? And you don't understand it. Do you want to walk away? Well, Lord, I labored. And I labored all spring. And I planted. And I get this harvest. And it's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted. You want to walk away? Because you don't get what you want? That's a lot of people today that walk away from the truth because they say they can't understand it. The Bible teaches both. God foreordained the death of His Son from before the foundation of the world. And yet He holds men accountable for putting Him to the cross. It's not a contradiction. It's a mystery. The Lord doesn't have any problems with it. Just like Jesus doesn't have any problems being fully God and fully man in one person. It's us who have the problem with that. You know why we have a problem with it? Because we don't walk by faith. We want to walk by sight. We want to walk by rationalism. We want to be rational people, and therefore we walk into rationalism and want to judge everything by our intellect. That if I can't understand it, it must not be so. This is what Paul is dealing with. The gospel was considered foolishness at the time that Paul was preaching. It's still foolishness today to the unbeliever. They can't understand it. Because you see, the cross was an instrument of death. And it was an instrument of death for a criminal. And it was exacted by the Roman government. The Roman government, they were glorying in their form of punishment. And the cross was a declaration by the Roman government to everybody around them, including their citizens, don't mess with us, because we'll put you to the cross. It was for the criminals, the outcast. It was for those who would not submit to the authorities of Rome. So when Jesus is put on a cross, it's a scandal, isn't it? They're scandalized. It's the scandal of the cross. How could it be that that one could die for the sins of a multitude? Because the cross is seen for only criminals and lawbreakers. And He was there, beloved, representing our lawbreaking. That's what the cross teaches us. That God punishes sin, and He punishes it in His Son on our behalf. Our sins punished in Him. He receives the condemnation that we receive the blessing of God. The natural mind can't understand that. The natural mind rejects that. The natural mind says that is foolishness. Paul's calling was to preach the gospel not with words of wisdom. In other words, the words of men's wisdom, trying to cajole, trying to manipulate, trying to pull at the emotions, trying to use fancy intellect in dealing with the gospel ministry. Beloved, the gospel is so simple. that these little kids that you see in here this morning can understand. They can understand, as the scriptures teach, that the Father so loved his people that he sent his Son into this world out of love to redeem a multitude. That the Son of God took upon himself the form of a man, and he fulfilled all the demands of the law in our place. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was scourged, he was spit upon, he was beaten. He was hated and despised by his culture, and he's still hated and despised today. And he went to the cross to die for sinners, for rebels, for God haters. That guilt and the consequences of our sin may be removed. And Paul was plain in that speech. That's what a preacher is to be. It's to be plain speech. It's simply to speak the truth. And here's the truth, beloved. Christ redeems from sin. And if you come to him, you will be forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and future. If you do not, you are under the wrath of God. You abide under the wrath of God, and you will perish in eternal hell. That's the plain speech of the gospel. You see, the good news is in light of the bad news that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all broken the commandments of God. How will you escape the wrath of God if not for Jesus Christ? Where will you run? Who will be your rock and your refuge? As the disciples said, Jesus said to them, "Do you want to go away? Where are we going to go, Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's no other place. Will you stand naked in your sins before the judgment seat of God? Or will you stand covered and clothed in the righteousness of the Savior, Jesus Christ? The gospel, beloved, is Jesus Christ. It doesn't need manipulation. It doesn't need human psychology. It doesn't need psychobabble. It doesn't need all the programs. It just simply needs the preaching of the word, the plain truth, the plain speak of Scripture. And this is what Paul says. That's what I have been called to. I was sent for this reason, to preach the good news, the gospel. When we add to the gospel, when we try to be wise with the Almighty, when we try to be placating men's wrath and anger, this is what we do, Paul says. We make the cross of Christ to be of no effect. You see, this is what happens. Whenever man adds something to the gospel, what is always eclipsed is the gospel. What always rises at the top is man's philosophy. And I'm going to tell you something from the philosophers of the ancient day up until today. They have absolutely nothing to offer with their philosophy. If their philosophy says the same thing or speaks the truth, then it's irrelevant because the Word of God speaks truth. We don't need it. But what happens with the philosophers of the day, they are trying to figure out what man is all about. What is life all about? I mean, they ask such profound questions as, can you step in the same river twice? Those are the things that philosophers philosophize about. They love the wisdom of men. And it's a naturalistic wisdom that cannot rise above the earthly and the mundane. It cannot tell us, beloved, where we come from and for what reason we are on this earth. It's the Word of God that teaches us that. We don't need the ancient philosophers. It's unnecessary to listen to that garbage, that jumble that they have. They never, from the natural, reach the supernatural. They cannot. And this is what Paul is saying. And when you add that to the gospel, when you try to bring that in, the cross of Christ is made of no effect. It's an amazing thing how it's always eclipsed by man's philosophy, by man's worldly naturalistic wisdom. That's why when one preaches, he's to preach the word. The whole word and nothing but the word. It's the word that the Spirit of God uses to convert the soul. It's the word that the Spirit of God uses to build us up to an inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's the word that is used by the Spirit to regenerate, to justify, to sanctify, and to glorify. In and always, in and through the word. Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Notice how the cross makes the distinction between people. So you go out and you evangelize. And you talk to your unbelieving neighbor. And they despise the cross of Christ. The message of the cross. Again, the message of the cross is simply a Greek phrase. It's a synecdoche. It refers to a whole. The part for the whole. The message of the cross refers to the whole work of Jesus Christ. His person and his work. His shorthand is what it is. So you go out and you evangelize and you tell your neighbor about Christ. And they hate you. They say, I don't need that. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. That's what it is, he says. The cross is foolishness. It comes from the Greek term moros, and we get moron from that. The unbelieving world thinks that the cross of Christ is moronic. Now, don't be in wonder when you evangelize and people reject the gospel and think that it's foolish. It's foolish to the natural mind who has not been enlightened by the Spirit of God. It's moronic. It's stupid. It's rejected because of that. And this is what Paul says is going to take place. It's foolish to them. You know why? Because they're perishing. Beloved, here's the plain speech of the gospel. If you do not embrace Jesus as your Savior, if you do not embrace Him as the one who came, was sent by the Father, and lived and died in your place, if you do not embrace Him as your Lord, your Master, your King, you're perishing. Present tense, you are in the state of continually perishing until the consummation of it comes when you are dropped into the pit of hell. Till that day you die and your soul departs from the body and you are dropped into punishment awaiting the great white throne judgment and the day of the resurrection where your body is going to be clothed with an immortal body only then to be cast in the lake of fire forever. If you are rejecting the gospel, you are perishing. You are in the state of perishing right now by rejecting the gospel. Now, it always goes on in the church that there are tares and wheat mixed together. Now, I don't know your hearts. I can only see the fruit of your faith. But I can't see your heart. But God knows your heart. And the fact of the matter is that we are called to repent and to believe. And if you are here this morning and you are not trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are perishing. And it's coming, beloved. That day is coming. Hell is coming if you're not trusting Christ. There is only one thing for you to do, is to run to Christ, flee to Him. It's to cry out to Him. He alone can save. He is willing to save even to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. Him and Him alone. That's the good news, is that there is the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, are you trusting Him? Are you looking to Him and not to the psychobabble of the world? Let's bring it a little bit closer to home. Are you trusting Him or are you looking to the sacraments? Trusting in that. Well, I took the Lord's Supper. Well, I was baptized. I was catechized. I went through confirmation. I'm a church member. I give a number of offerings, pretty substantial. Are you trusting in any of that, beloved? Because if you are trusting in that, then you are not trusting in Christ, who is the gospel. And if you are trusting in that, you're perishing. You're under the wrath of God now. You are in the state of perishing. And as Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come to the cross. Lay hold of the only Savior, Jesus. Believe on Him, clothed with all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. Embrace Him, beloved, and find forgiveness in Him. Jesus said, He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death into life and will never more come into condemnation. That means if you're not believing the Christ of Scripture, you are under the condemnation of God. Don't be deceived, beloved, by the forms. Don't be deceived by the rites of the church. Don't be deceived by the sacraments. They all point you to the only Savior, Jesus. Run to Him. Fly to Him and be saved. Even as the hymn says, I to the fountain fly, the one who is foul. I fly to Him. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Paul says, but those who are being saved, they're in the state of being saved. You remember the tenses that I mentioned to you with regards to salvation. There is a past, a present, and a future tense in the Greek language. So we have been saved. We have been saved from the consequences and the guilt of our sin. We are being saved right now from the power of sin in our life. That pull that sin has. We are being saved from that. And we shall be saved in the future from the presence of sin. And Paul says right now, those who believe the gospel are those who are being saved. Beloved, are you believing the gospel? That's the distinguishing mark. That's the watermark, isn't it? That's the division of the human race. Are you believing the gospel? And do you find it as the power of God unto salvation? The wisdom of God? The zenith of wisdom? Or do you find the gospel foolishness? Paul says it's the power of God. Think about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Lord created, and it was so. And the Lord spoke it, and it was so. That's the power of God. Who knows the power of God's anger? The infinite, eternal power of God. Paul says that the gospel is the power of God. In other words, God works through the gospel. God shows the power in the work in regenerating the soul. From one day, someone who's blind and dead in their trespasses and sins, and now they come to the light in Jesus Christ. I once was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I am alive to Jesus Christ. I hated Him, but now I love Him. I was a God hater. I worshiped the things of the earth, the creatures, instead of the Creator. And now I worship the Creator and know He created all these things for my pleasure and to point me to Him and say, what a wondrous, glorious God who has created us. It's the power of God. It's imperative that the gospel be preached. It's imperative, beloved, because through that, the explosive power of God to raise the spiritual dead. Paul says, when you were dead, He made you alive. When you were dead, He raised you up spiritually and gave you newness of life. When you were dead, He resurrected you from spiritual death and put a new song in your mouth, praise to our God. Paul says, it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The worldly wise of the day, God destroys it with the gospel. You see, through all the philosophers of all the ancient days, no one could get to God. With all the ingenuity that man had in building the Tower of Babel, God destroyed that, confused their languages. All the worldly wise who said, let's build a tower and make a name for ourselves. And they are regarded as foolish. God destroys it. And then Paul asks that question, where is the wise man? Where's the scribe? The wise man, thinking about in Egypt, the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. They had a lot of learning, a lot of natural understanding of things. And Paul says, where is that wise man? Bring him forward with all your magic and with all your ingenuity, with all your worldly wise sayings. Come on forward. Where did the world come from? What are we here for? What is the soul all about? What happens after death? The philosophers can't touch it. Where is, he says, the scribe? I'm sure he's referring to the Assyrians. The big scribes writing down everything, having all of this worldly knowledge about all this stuff. Show me what my life is about. What happens to me after this life? What happens when this body goes into the grave? Is that all that there is? Where's the disputer? Clearly, Paul's talking about the Greeks. The Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy. Oh, it was the high and vaunted thing of that day. The Greek philosophers gathering together, talking about insignificant things to show off their big intellects that the Lord brings to nothing. I can see Paul here. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Come on in. Bring it on. The gospel is the power of God that will destroy your worldly wisdom. It'll reduce you to nothing. And it's at that point, beloved, that the hope is then turned to our God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Since God has made foolish the wisdom of this world, we are to be a people that walk in the wisdom of the Word. Not the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the Word. So when you struggle, and when you're in despair, and when you're discouraged, when you're downcast, when you're disgruntled, when you're having difficulty in your life, where do you go? The scripture text says here, you can only go to find healing to our God. Run to the Word, beloved. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Are you believing that gospel? And God has redeemed you from all of your sin and misery, from what the Romans called foolishness. God says, this is the zenith of wisdom. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And notice, beloved, in me, Jesus said, in me you will find rest for your souls. Run to Jesus. He is the one of place of rest. Amen. Shall we pray?